the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, then the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in this mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We take the insert for the second Sunday after Christmas and chant the intro.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praises it is in. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise your God.
This is the feast of victory for our God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Christmas is from 1 Kings chapter 3. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life, or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honors, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 122 responsively by whole verse.
To me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. Of David. security within your towers.
Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" They did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 410.
Christmas and Epiphany, we rejoice in all the marvelous details about his human life here on earth. And today, we marvel at Jesus, who is our temple and our Father's house. What is a temple? A temple is a place where God meets us. For the Jews, it was the holy place, and he met them in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And God said, "That is where I meet you." The world wants to imagine how it meets God and establishes its own temples, its own religions. But the Lord says, if you want to meet me, he said to the Jews, you meet me at the temple in the Holy of Holies before the Ark of the Covenant. When the priest comes before me, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of that. And as he comes to the temple at 12 years old, we will later realize his body is now our temple. What is a house? The place of your dwelling. When you leave here, you will go back to your house where your family lives. It's a place where you live, you sleep, you eat, drink, you gather together with your family and friends, you can get a good night's sleep, and thank the Lord that you have a roof over your head. But Jesus enters the Father's house in the temple. And we're come to realize that Jesus is not only our temple, he is the Father's house for us. And what did he say? I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house." So during these 12 days of Christmas, this whole time between Christmas, Jesus the King of the Jews, and this Thursday, January 6th, Jesus the Light of all the Gentile nations, beginning with the Magi, we ask ourselves, what does it mean that Jesus brings us into the Father's house as true God and true man? And what does it mean that the body of Jesus is now our true temple? In order to do that, let's first consider Jesus and his family going up to the feast in Jerusalem, seeing Jesus as part of an ordinary human family. Secondly, we will see Jesus, who's before the teachers in the temple courts, astonishing them with his knowledge, because, of course, he is also true God. And then thirdly, remind ourselves, as Jesus had to remind his stepfather, Joseph, and his mother, Mary, God is Jesus' true father. Mary was his earthly mother. So let us begin with Jesus as part of an earthly family at the feast in Jerusalem. The family would make the trip from Galilee and Nazareth to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, for the feast of the Passover. Now, faithful Jews in Israel once a year would make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The Passover, of course, went all the way back to Exodus, when Moses was instructed by God to have them slaughter the lambs and put the blood on the doorposts of their house. So when the angel came, all the firstborn sons of Israel were spared. They ate unleavened bread, they drank wine, they ate the bitter herbs every year in remembrance. For that night, Pharaoh said, "Leave. Leave Egypt." The angel passed over, and they went on their way, eventually, to the promised land. Jews still celebrate this today. And these faithful Jews of his family, his parents, his mother Mary, and the stepfather Joseph, made the journey from way up north in Galilee, by the Sea of Galilee in Nazareth, where Joseph was a carpenter, and came down through Samaria to Judea, up to Jerusalem, for the annual custom of the feast, which usually lasted between 7 and 10 days, this festival and feast of the Lord's Passover. What was so marvelous here is to see how Jesus is part of a family just like yours. This whole entourage of people included Mary, his stepfather Joseph, the other children that they have, uncles, aunts, cousins, relatives, and acquaintances. It was probably hundreds of people making this journey for safety to come to Jerusalem for the feast. How many of us cannot relate to this beautiful story here? For after the pilgrimage and after the 7-day festival, they all head back up north to Galilee. Mary and Joseph assume Jesus, at 12 years old, is with the cousins, the uncles and aunts and acquaintances. So for one day as they're journeying, they're looking and realize nobody has seen Jesus. They look for a whole day. They've made a whole day journey up north. Well, Mary and Joseph turn around and make another day journey back to Jerusalem, and the entourage continues up north. So now they haven't seen Jesus for 2 days. Now they arrive in Jerusalem, and for another day, they look for a whole nother day, and so they haven't seen their son for 3 days. Somewhere along the line, one of them thought, well, we haven't checked the temple yet. And so having searched, they find him in the temple courts, and his parents are astonished. Now the temple courts are very large. You have the temple proper. But the temple courts are about 20 to 30 acres of land with a stone pavement. And on this land, the people would be taught, they would pray. You had thousands of people milling around being taught and praying as the priests would go into the temple. They even had temple courts on the side where people could stay overnight and eat. And so obviously Jesus was there for 3 days. Somebody gave him a place to put his head down and sleep, gave him something to eat. But the parents are utterly astonished that he's been there for 3 days. Here we see that Jesus was true man, part of a real human family. How many of you have had one of your kids get lost and you frantically looked for them in the shopping mall or out hiking in a hiking trail? You understand their stress of not knowing where Jesus was. Jesus was part of a real family. It's so comforting to know that even though he was the Son of God in human flesh, he so hid his glory, people just considered him an ordinary 12-year-old boy. Now, he was far from ordinary. He grew, he became strong, he was filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. But he was true man and shares our flesh and blood. He is part of the human family. He knows happiness and sadness. He knows hunger and thirst. He knows exhilaration and the joy of singing. He knows the distress of everyday life. We rejoice during the 12 days of Christmas. Jesus so shares our flesh and blood. He truly understands what it means to be part of an earthly human family. Jesus truly is true man and shares our flesh and blood. What a comfort that is. Then we see Jesus is also his true God, filled with the wisdom beyond what even Solomon had. For now we see Jesus with all the teachers in the temple courts. Now in the temple proper, the rabbis would be teaching in the temple courts. There was a court of the men, court for the women, and a whole nother court for the Gentiles. So Jesus had been living and sleeping and listening there for 3 days. Here he is, a 12-year-old, sitting among these bearded men, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. You see, Jesus knew the Old Testament. Every time when they went up to the synagogue on Saturday, something was read from Genesis to Malachi. Jesus knew the Old Testament scriptures. Can you imagine the questions he would have been asking? Who is Isaiah speaking about, the one who was stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God? Who is this one who is born of a virgin, Emmanuel? Who is this one in Micah who is born in Bethlehem? Who is the one that says, arise, shine, for your light has come? He would be listening to them and asking them questions. You see, the Word of God is authoritative. This Old Testament scripture was the means by which God spoke to his people of old, just as he speaks to us in both the Old and the New Testament. St. Paul calls Jesus the Beloved. What an amazing picture to see the deity of Jesus, this true man, sitting there as a 12-year-old child, amazing the teachers of the law with his knowledge of God's word. Jesus relished the word of God, as we do. Think of how you chanted a psalm, you heard a lesson from Kings, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and now Luke. Luke would have, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, investigated all these things. Luke is the only one that tells us the story. Luke very possibly interviewed Mary herself with all the accounts that he gives in Luke chapters 1 through 3. The means by which the Lord continues to come to us today are the same. Reading the teaching of the Word of God out loud or reading yourself. The preaching of a sermon by a faithful pastor. Being baptized by water and word at a font like that. Hearing through the office of the keys the word of absolution that your sins are forgiven. And receiving Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion are the means he still uses today. Ordinary means he does extraordinary things. How marvelous it is that Jesus, even at 12 years old, recognizes the authority of the Word of God, Rejoice that he shares our flesh and blood. Rejoice that he treasures the word of God just like you do. And thirdly, what did it mean when Jesus had to remind his parents? God was his true father, though Mary was his mother. Here we see the great distress of the parents. And Mary, being a mother who loves her child, is annoyed with her son. Son, why do you treat us so? Your father and I have been searching for you for 3 days. Jesus is now reminding them who he really is. Jesus is saying, why were you looking for me? I must be in my father's house, that is, the temple. For Jesus increased in wisdom and the favor of God was upon him. They did not understand what Jesus said to them. And again, this is amazingly comforting. You wonder about this, don't you? Because they would have heard the shepherds proclaim on Christmas Eve what the angels said the Savior is born. They saw the Magi come, present gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and bow down and worship Jesus. But 12 years later, after raising this young man with all the other people in the family, just the daily life of running a household, they were forgetting who Jesus truly was. Jesus is gently reminding them, don't you remember, Mother? The angels, the shepherds, the Magi? God is my true father. Joseph's my stepfather and guardian, but my father is God the Father in heaven. Here we see, all through the 12 days of Christmas, Jesus is true God and true man in one person. And by the way, you cannot divide his deity from his humanity. You either get the whole Jesus or you get no Jesus. You don't get half and half. You don't get the man part and the God part separately. Wherever Jesus is, he's there as true God and true man. In preaching and teaching, in Holy Communion, true God and true man is giving you his body and blood. Now, Jesus was not being a smart aleck to Mary. He was reminding Mary gently who he was. Because Luke said he went down back to Nazareth. They returned home. He was submissive to his parents. He lived as a carpenter's son. He honored them. He obeyed the fourth commandment. He was like us in all ways, yet without sin. He actively kept the law and obeyed his parents. But Mary remembered these events, found only in the Gospel of Luke. Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Christmas, the angels, the shepherds, the Epiphany, the wise men, the star, and now her 12-year-old son in the temple. She pondered these things, treasured them. And that's exactly what we're doing here today. We are so grateful that under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke recorded all these events. So what does this mean for you and me as we now begin 2022? Well, in our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I now grow in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Through Jesus Christ, we treasure the mysteries of his incarnation in our hearts, like Mary did. Jesus is now the true temple in the Father's house. Remember, they took Jesus, placed him in a manger, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. But Jesus said, tear down this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up. They took Jesus down from the cross and wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the tomb. But as he was risen from the dead, they recognized, he said, tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it. The temple he was speaking of was the temple of his body, which is the body of Christ, now God's temple. So rejoice in this new year. You are not living in the dark. You are living in the light. Paul said we have all spiritual blessings because we are holy and blameless, predestined and adopted by God the Father through the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. Why? This is his purpose, his will to redeem us by his blood. That is why we have the forgiveness of sins. the riches of grace and wisdom and insight, we have the inheritance promised in the gospel of salvation by the word of truth. This is guaranteed, sealed by the promised Holy Spirit. You are guaranteed that you have this possession of everlasting life until the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the praise of His glory. As we draw near to Epiphany during the 12 days of Christmas, rejoice in this coming year that Jesus in deity and humanity, true God and true man, is for you wherever you go. Jesus is your temple. Jesus is your Father's house, who will take you into the Father's house of many mansions. Let us rejoice in Jesus, the light of all nations. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Continue on page 158. We stand to confess the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of lights, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us in the righteous trials. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, preserve your church. Look favorably upon her ministers. Give them delight in this joyful season, restful reflection on the mystery of your incarnation, that they may preach your word boldly and faithfully. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son diligently heard the word of God, grew in wisdom and stature, submissive to his earthly parents, and always about your business in your house. Keep the families of your church abiding in your word, eager to be found among your word and sacraments, always treasuring your divine wisdom and favor. And this week, bless Pastor George Kirkup, Ann Anderson and Trinity Stacker, Leah Bayless, Peggy Gallagher, Jonathan Merchant, Nikki Subialdi, Shelby Wilson and Cody Sepulveda, Josh Lewandowski, Anna Law, Becky Seawald, and those who celebrate their anniversaries, Jim and Lois Bollinger, Cindy and Charles Baxendale. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, uphold and strengthen our president, governors, senators, and all public servants. Protect us in every good deed as we enter this coming year. Be with Mike Gobble, Ricardo Watanga, Charles Gaither and Danny Green, Emily Shelton, Courtney Tate, and Alice Laffin as they serve in the armed forces of our nation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, give patience and endurance to all who are sick or in any type of need. Heal them according to your will. LaDonna Cheatwood, Cindy Baxendale, Raymond Sendelbach, Patty Rever, Jean Vorster, and Dwayne Grosowski, Bobby Rankin, Chris Henderson, Neil Tapto, Jill Tarver, and Candy Darmody. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You've shown your people goodness in Christ, given comfort and hope to all who mourn. Be with Catherine Harmon's family and Evelyn Stratmoen's family as they mourn their deaths. Be with both the Harmon Goodwin and Stratman families as they rejoice in the victory that Catherine and Evelyn has received in heaven and are comforted in Jesus, the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son has won redemption through his blood. According to the riches of your grace, bless us today with a confident faith as we continue at Trinity Lutheran Church, Child Care, and Campus Ministry to proclaim the gospel in our community. And also be with JP and Amy as they serve in Cambodia. Be with them and their children as they empower the leaders of the church, the people of Cambodia. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, in your mercy, you established a Christian home among us. May we be good examples to our children. And grant, Lord Jesus Christ, that the church, where we love your blessed word, would advance your glory, your honor and praise for our improvement and welfare. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We ask at this time that you fill out the ritual of friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets in the narthex as you leave. You may be seated. We will now gather the offering.
Sing the offertory, page 159. We stand to sing.
And also with you. is truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Canticle page 164, we stand to sing.
To you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
To this day.